eyes right there. Your heli pipe, the clouds, your light to breathe, the smoke screen. But down the pipe, check into life, drowning in your pipe dream, pipe dream.
Vasquez. And by the way, hidey ho, everybody, because this is going to be one of those kinds of shows today. Yep, and this is Andrew Fetter, When Pigs Fly, coming to you straight from the Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. So, there's a lot of things I was going to go into right now. And as you know, this is going to be a show of satire. So if I mean to offend, yeah, that's my purpose, and I'll explain to you. I've had a great weekend. The other weekend I had a signing event here in Las Vegas. Actually, just outside of Vegas, it went really good with my book, The Heretic. For those folks not sure what that is, always check it out, andrewtheheretic.com. I'm sure you guys will enjoy it with all the sex and violence. The only thing missing is rock and roll. It deals with regressions and whatnot during the time of Alexander the Great. I don't want to elaborate on that right now. And also I want to thank all my listeners out there and future listeners on archives and all my past shows with a great guest I've had specifically. Even I had just a gentleman named Ricky on not recently, who was an abductee. In fact, I had to re-listen to his thing because it was so much information about his abduction by extraterrestrials, and I'm definitely going to have him on, hopefully. We were talking about maybe in March. So, well, enough of that crap. I know everyone's going, what the hell? Listen, I'm just got to tell you, everybody's got to laugh. You know, everybody around takes things too damn seriously, especially down this time of year, but usually a lot of, you know, too much. You know, and the reason why I decided to do this show about laughter, because I think people who are into all the spiritual side and extraterrestrial side and all that other stuff take things a little too seriously, and they need to get the stick out of their ass and laugh a little bit, including myself, even when times are rough. And the reason why I got this into thinking about this is because just recently, in fact, on MySpace, I sent out, I don't know if you, when I said hidey ho, I sent out a what they call it, a crappy Christmas, with, which is regarding with South Park's with Mr. Hinky. I don't know if you have folks out there and not familiar who Mr. Hinky, he's the Christmas poo and he loves you, this kind of stuff. Sort of a set joke on South Park cartoon here in the United States. And one person particularly got offended, and who's also so spiritual, and da-da-da, and linked to him, like, was my best friend on the MySpace, so I gotta take that seriously, but took it right off. And then on Thanksgiving, I had another somebody else who got really offended when I had Bush getting a blowjob by his turkey he was pardoning. And I was making a jest about bestiality amongst Republicans. And she said, how can you offend our president? Well, frankly, dear, he sort of offended our soldiers, both men and women out there who have been dying or wounded, and families who have suffered, and the collateral lives has affected as well. So I decided that we need to laugh, an effing laugh. So people don't realize laughing is one of the most greatest joys a person can have. In fact, that's one of the one thing separates us from, I guess, animal kind, is we can laugh. And when there's another issue about laughing, it's bringing the child within you. In fact, you do not enter that higher realm and spirituality as an adult being all serious and stuff. You have to, that's why they said the child within. You rise, your level of vibration rise by being a child, laughing, having fun. You know, that's what the cherubim are. The cherubim, which are the little baby angels that you see, why they're so high, they're actually the highest realm within the levels of angelic realm. I mean, they're actually higher than even on, as far as energy-wise or whatnot, than even the archangels. And the reason why is because they are like children. God is surrounded by the childish, the laugh. So damn it, laugh. And also think about the energy that is resulting from laughing. It's extremely healing. It's probably one of the best ways of healing yourself. So if you're feeling sad, upset, need to be grounded, one of the easiest ways to get is to laugh. Watch something funny. Go to a comedy store. Go to whatever. Just laugh, damn it. And take that stick out when you do it. And now I'm going to tell you something else. There are no sacred cows here. You know, on my show, I don't leave no holes barred. Oops. You know, I take a fair example. I mean, look at BBS Radio. We have two twin brothers, more like Achtung brothers from the fatherland. One is yet quiet, but has good poetry. The other one has so many opinions that his own opinions argue with his own opinions. But Doug and Don, man, you guys are the greatest, and I love you both. And you know what's amazing about BBS Radio? We have so many damn prima donnas here on this station, and you all know it. Hell, you don't even need any incense. Hell, because they sit down, they can smell their own farts with all their kumbaya stuff and building their self-esteem. But you know what? They are the best, and I love them too. And we even have folks that speak with the dead people. Did I say dead people? Yeah, I'm speaking of dead. You know, and speaking of dead, you know, Princess Diana, you know, I just got to tell you, you got a sweet little hiney, and I bet you're hitting skins with all those folks up there on the other side. Hey, Princess Diana, I hear Lennon wants you to join him for some kind of menage a trois thing. Well, anyway, speaking of, I hear psychics. We got a lot of psychics out there in BBS Radio, too. I'm telling you the best, so read this. Oh, you didn't get the joke. Okay, well, then you can kiss my hiney. Anyway, also we have a lot of UFO people, you know, like myself, who deal with extraterrestrials, you know, that whatnot. In fact, we even have people have extraterrestrials flying around in the backyard. And speaking of that, I imagine, you know, them being tied up and probed and whatnot, but that sounds more like a dominatrix of aliens, don't you think? Or maybe I've been watching too much internet porn with aliens. Oops. Anyway, but you gotta love BBS Radio, man. I've got every one of you, every single person who hosts on this station or is involved, or you're all very special and great spiritual warriors in your own kind. So, damn it, laugh. Don't take things so seriously. And if you don't like it, you can damn well kiss my ass. Now, some people out there have called me being blasphemous. Well, I am blasphemous, all right. You know, what's blasphemy? You know, I'm sure I said a few things that all the, you know, Ahmed and Ayatollah is going to pull out and call out a fatwa on me, and the Pope and the Christians, oh, please save me crap, are going to crucify me or call it their crusades, and the Jewish rabbi with his guilt, what will your mother say stuff. And then there's the monks, who do I hear in the Om? So, yes, I am blasphemous, so let's rock. Rock around the cross tonight, because you know what Joe said to Mary, let's get together and blame it on God. You know, and speaking of Jesus, I heard that Jesus and Mary Mellon were really hitting skins. Is that true? Yeah, that's true, all right. In fact, that's what it was replying, inferred in Mary's Gospel. You know, the one that no one wants to talk about, or you're not allowed to read. But you know, what's funny is, if that were true, and it also says in there, it talks about how all the disciples were jealous of Mary Magdalene's and Jesus' relationship. Well, I bet you Jesus never bent over to pick up any shekels in front of his disciples, hmm? Well, anyway, speaking of, oh my God, if I start talking about Muslims, they're going to start wanting to burn effigies of myself and probably burn my book and whatnot. But, hell, I made some people sort of famous. Anyway, but speaking of what was on my ass, I bet you all didn't know how Muhammad was a little bitch to his wife. Yeah, you know, he was. Come on. If you read about the history of Muhammad, he was a little bitch. You know, nothing saying you're pleasing your wife and taking care of things here, but he was, come on, he was a little wuss. You know what his wife would tell him? Hey, Muhammad, take out the trash, clean the house, feed the camels, and Muhammad, tomorrow you have to take the caravan to Medina, and don't you forget it. Now get your little skinny ass over here and please me with your little needle dick. Well, now you know why all the Islamic men worldwide are so damn angry. You know, they're having problems pleasing their wives with their little needle dicks. You know what? They all should probably quit their hating of their Jewish brothers and learn some of their own of their Jewish oral law. You know what? Speaking of Jews, oh man, oh now I'm going to hear it from my mom. Anyway, I bet you didn't know that Jesus had problems speaking because he supposedly burnt his tongue on hot coal, you know, when he was an infant as a test of his loyalty to the Pharaoh. I probably didn't hear about that, but that was what he had to do because they wanted to make sure, you know, he didn't go for the gold and he burnt his tongue. That meant he wasn't just be greedy and go behind Pharaoh's back. But that was the sort of the story. But I think, you know what, they made that all up because I think maybe he actually wore out his tongue with all those hot little Egyptian women that he had to please. How he was Jewish, and we all know how Jews loved fresh fish. You know, just ask Jesus. And speaking of Buddha, I didn't even talk about Buddha yet, did I? You know, he was also known as Siddhartha. You know, he left from India and went all the way to the southeast. Damn, today, just think of that. Anyway, you know, he was on that special path of happiness, you know. Well, he was on that special path of happiness, all right. You know, you would have been pretty damn happy, too, if you were going from India all the way to Thailand, or today Thailand, hitting all those little Indian and Siamese girls. Well, what the how the hell do you think he got the idea of Om, okay, as a universal sound? You know, Om, okay. Well, I guess that's how Buddha really did show the way to happiness. I guess all those girls knew it. And that's why he was always happy. Hell, man, you would be, too. Now, okay, enough of me being so blasphemous and crude, and I'm going to hear a bunch of crap and emails and all that good old stuff. But I hear everybody's complaining all the time. You know, they complain about this, they complain about this. I feel like, oh my God, they're complaining. But enough. Because everybody's always complaining. They're always complaining about something. They're complaining about their love life. They don't even vote, and then they'll complain about their government. And then they'll complain again about their love life. Then they complain about their lovers, their kids, their parents, their bosses, their employees, their exes, their wives, their husbands, their love life, their food, how they look, how they dress, the weather, where they live. Did I mention their love life? They're always complaining. Hell, look at the TV. They're complaining about something. So damn it, quit your damn complaining, because I'm going to be complaining about your complaining, you know? And speaking of your love life, I have to bring another subject up. Yes, your love life, masturbation. First of all, masturbation basically is screwing yourself. So now that I got that out of the way, you folks can kindly put down your rosy palms or your battery-operated rabbits so I can further elaborate about your continual masturbation. You see, we all sort of are masturbators by the choices and sometimes a lack of choosing. You know, I said masturbation is sort of screwing yourself. Okay, just stick that in there. I have to repeat that again. Anyway, we like to masturbate in the religious sense by allowing the clerics to tell us what our God or Lord Savior to believe without questioning the cleric's own agenda or motives or real truth. You know what? We even love to masturbate while dreaming of our politicians in power. We even masturbate for our employers when you know you deserve better. And you know what? In America, we brought on masturbation to a whole new level when it comes to health care. Oh, man, do we ever. Hell, it's called bankruptcy. Anyway, we all masturbate. You know, we're all masturbating when we play the throne game by sticking our damn heads in the sand, by allowing our presidents and vice presidents to get away from all their illegal activities. Phew, come on. Like over just 300-400 of them just for Bush alone. I've not even gotten to Cheney. So we love to masturbate. Hell, we masturbated and we allowed Bush to become president in 2000. And it felt so damn good masturbating in 2000. We said, hey, let's do it again in 2004. Well, we know that there are those who out there who love to give us a good reach around, you know, and help us masturbate us while we get Bush from behind. Yeah. We really must thank all the neocons and loyal Republicans for that helping hand. And how could I forget Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, who sponsored the lubrication which we all get bushed from behind. We even like masturbating so much that even as every second passes, one of our soldiers is wounded or killed in Iraq. But what the hell, you know, it feels so damn good, let's have some more. We like to masturbate so much that we even let our Congress kick in some more bucks for another session, or some more. But don't feel so lonely, everyone around the world loves to masturbate. Hell, look at the Palestinians, man, they got it down to a T. Every opportunity that seems to come around, they get out that old lubrication of hate. Conveniently supplied by Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, Fatah, Syria, Saudi, and there are a whole lot more in that country, in that realm. Hell, that lubricant of hate is really cheap and prevailing commodity in the Islamic world. Yeah, it seems that the whole Islamic world loves to masturbate, utilizing their wet dream of violence, hate, and murder all in the name of Allah. Hell, even the moderate Muslims love to masturbate just to remain silent. Seems that everyone around the world, including those so-called moderates, like to masturbate too. Yeah, the Israelis like it too. They like to masturbate whenever they need to build a whole new settlement when they agreed not to. Hell, the British are the biggest masturbators since they love to use the masturbation of hate. They ran out not long ago, though, but they seem to got a new supply from Adolf Lubrications for renewal to anti-Semitism. You know, the unions over there are now whacking off like no tomorrow. It seems it's a whole new trend now in Europe of a whole new hate, new to masturbate the lubrication of old hate the Jew. But they seem they must have got that manual how to master good and hard for their old friends' box of their grandfathers of the fatherland. So Europeans are great masturbators too. Hell, they even got the Russians back in the act. Iran is helping out the French. Hell, they made a whole orgy out of it with the Russians. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention. you know, it was the British who actually taught masturbation around the world, of course, with America's Helping Hand. It's a history thing, you see, the Anglo-Saxon masturbation at its best. How the hell do you think the whole lubrication hate started in the first place? In the Middle East, you know, between the Arabs and the Jews, the Sunnis and the Shiites, the Muslims and the Hindus, and so on and so on and so on. It was all courtesy of British petroleum products. Should I not say more? Well, you know what? Talking about, I'm from in Vegas, Las Vegas, Nevada. Hell, man, you know what? They love to masturbate, too. They do it. They don't seem to care a whole lot. They may be maybe America's nuclear dumping ground. They love masturbating so much that they reelected the same rubber stamp again and made it specially made by Bush for the Finks. And not just one rubber stamp, but we have three now. Hell, we even got one that's our governor, too. So Bush provided an extra special lubrication, and you know what it's called? Illiteracy. And it has a special aroma of ignorance attached to it. Even the Nevada Republicans boast, damn, it feels good when you get bushed. Oh, please, can I have another? But then again, we are all kind of the masturbators when we don't take responsibility for our own choices. It seems that we even masturbate when things are going good. But there are always those with a, you know, helping hand to help out in our choices. So, well, I hope you're all feeling really good, because isn't that what masturbation is all about? So I know you like to masturbate, but please, kindly clean up after yourself. Well, I hope I didn't offend y'all folks, but that was my spiel of a little satire humor. Oh, that went faster than I thought it would. And I got into the satirism here, and I do write a lot of satire, if you ever check out some of my sites on my blog sites, because I would like to take people take things on the offhand. They take things too seriously, like I said. And if I throw things to offend people, well, that's the way it is. You know, sometimes you get offended by changing the way you look at things. And you have to take things on the up and up, man. Chill out. Have fun. Laugh at things, like I said. Life is short. So, what can I say? Excuse me. I had to have a little sip of water after that. But like I said, you know, everybody takes too damn serious of things. They gotta chill out, have fun, look at things how they really are, you know, because life is very short. You don't know who's gonna be around you and who's gonna suddenly disappear the next year, or the next moment, or the next month. You know, and there are things that I would say that I have almost everything. There are no sacred cows. You know, but there is one I think that sort of like I would never touch, and I think that is sort of in a way sacred, so I guess there is exception to every rule. That would be somebody's loss to a loved one or deaths or something like that. Which it takes me to the other issue, you know, about a year ago when Muslims got all upset over a cartoon of Muhammad and they started burning up things, and then Iran and said, hey, well, we're going to make a joke about the Jews of the Holocaust. How can you compare a cartoon effigy of some prophet, I don't care how holy or thou that is, to some millions of people and kids and were slaughtered. I mean, and making fun of that. There's not even any equation to that. That's like a sickness. I mean, that's a bad mentality. That shows you a mentality of people who are heading to the dark side. You know, so when I talk of sacred cows, that there are none, I mean everything except for that, what I just mentioned. And that's my own view, and like everybody has their own view. You know, and people say, well, that's your opinion, and you know what they say about opinions. Opinions are like assholes, and they all stink. Well, you just gave your opinion, and what's that? You know, the opinion of the opinion. So, like, everybody can laugh at stuff, man. You know, take it easy, laugh at things. Don't take things so seriously, damn it. You know, look at our damn government. I can laugh at that too, you know. I mean, it's so funny. every day I see something ironic, and sometimes I have to sit back and not get so upset over it when I see the news and chill. I mean, right now the CIA tapes, and that now they're, you know, they don't want the disclosure that somehow some CIA tapes of torture and waterboarding may have been destroyed, or have been destroyed, not maybe. And then Bush saying, hey, we're not going to let you see them and all that stuff. And, like, what are you going to do about it? And people don't really care. Isn't that something? You know, America, isn't that ridiculous? To me, it's sort of sad humor, but it is sort of funny that nobody gives a shit. And then yet, that's sort of sad. I mean, they don't care about how many laws he's broken. They don't care that he got us in a war and people are dying. He didn't care about, oh, that the Republicans voted down not once, not twice, several times. And then he, of course, Mr. Bush vetoed that bill would have authorized every single kid in America to have health care no matter what. Oh, and what would it cost? A tax on cigarettes. Oh, my God. So somebody's lighting up a cigarette who's planning to kill them, hurting themselves, which it would eventually cost more on health care because of their own, by causing their own decision to smoke a cigarette to cause their own disease, which would raise, cause more costs to our health care. We're just taking a little chunk more from him to take care, pay for some health care for kids. That's so bad. Yet, they just want to authorize, and I can't believe the Democrats that just did this. It's another joke. Authorize them to have billions of dollars additional toward Iraq, and they claim it's for, you know, they, oh my God, if we don't give them money, you know, we're going to not, you know, send money to protect our soldiers. Well, I think I know one way to protect our soldiers. Get out of harm's way. Right? Pull them out. Protect the soldiers. If, you know, it's so funny when I hear people who are, like, against abortion. Now, I'm not pro-abortion or against abortion, by the way. I'm called pro-choice. That means you pro to choose. I cannot tell a woman what to choose. That's her choice, her morality, her morals to deal with having or not having an abortion. Since I believe she's the one who's, since she's the one carrying the baby and taking that burden for 9 months, and then some kids it take a little longer. My for oldest and youngest it took almost 10 months, by the way. Yet those same people who are so against thinking, oh, the killing babies are the first ones to send out those babies who are now 18, 19, 20 years old to a war that we shouldn't have been into and still in there, and that are involved in a civil war. And maybe in the war that we should have been fighting and focusing on was like Afghanistan. But what the hell? It's only a damn, you know, lies. We can all laugh about it, is it, right? It's a whole damn joke. And hell, look at our government, man. It's like, it's supposed to be a democracy. And by the way, everybody should vote. I don't care. I know that, like, some people feel apathetic. What's my vote worth? What can my voice worth? You got to at least do it. You know, it's, you know, it's amazing in this country that we don't even, we barely have 50% of the population that who are entitled to vote vote. You know, if the other 50% vote, then you'd have maybe a more justified of who's actually elected. You know, I mean, we're supposed to be a beacon of democracy, but we don't show it in that sense. I mean, you don't have a democracy if only 50% of the people vote. But then, like Jefferson had said, you know, you would not have a really corrected democracy. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, you have to have some education. You have to be somewhat educated. You know, it's like Paine had said about ignorance submits in everything, and intelligence questions. You know, we have to educate ourselves in order to be a democracy. And so, I remember heard one of the debates. Somebody had one of the, and maybe the most fascinating and brilliant statements of everything. He said, he turned me, oh, you know, it was Dodd, Senator Dodd had said it. His thing was that the first thing he would do is push as much as he can to rise our education up to such a standard by paying our first of all, our teachers better, having smaller classes, a better curriculum. And by the way, I would add on top of that curriculum a curriculum which would develop the self-esteem and self-love and self-worthiness to our kids, because that would be a good basis to effectively change our society on a whole. But, you know, if they are educated and you put that money in education, guess what? It would, like, have a ripple effect, you know, basically. Ripple effect by, you know, voting with more intelligence on situations, being more literate. I mean, how can we, our country, be so functional literate compared to Europe? How many times do you see other Americans picking up a book and reading it? You know, they're basically watching, playing video games and going to movies, and not that that's bad, but come on, you know, you gotta know what's out there. I mean, Americans tend to live in a bubble, and then they get their bubble popped when there's a 9/11, and then they're shocked by it, and then they have no clue how and the results of all that stuff is. Oh shit, man, now I'm getting all damn serious here. See? I'm getting sucked into that serious bubble. But it's sort of like you gotta laugh about some of this stuff, man. It's like unbelievable. You look around and, you know, like I said, little Bush, you know, but we have to stand up. We have to make ourselves known, you know, what's going on. And I know elections are swinging around and people are going to make their choices, you know, and everybody has their views. I know we have people on this station who like Ron Paul for their things, and then we have people who like Barack Obama and Clinton, and everybody has their views, you know, and it's fine. That's the part. That's the democratic. That's pushing out there. And if everybody goes and discusses and moves, and then you get into a vote. And then what was genius about our government being set up is they form a situation that forms dialogue in a free base. It's supposed to be free-based dialogue, not with special interests like corporations controlling all situations. But it forms a dialogue that eventually becomes a compromise situation where we can all turn the plate and everybody's happy. Well, I mean, not a whole happy, but somewhat happy. You know, like Buddha says, happiness is the way. So that's the beacon, you know. We should all lighten up, at the same time take care of matters. You know, and I know people out there have their depressions and feeling umbaya, you know, all sad and everything. You know, they might feel lonely out there. They might not have loved ones. They might not have their girlfriend or boyfriend, or they just broke up. But you know what? The best medicine for all that crap, even besides healing, is laughing. Go watch a movie. Go watch something funny. Go read something funny. You know, that's why when I write, I try to implement some satire, some humor, some more comical than others. Because even in the most gruesome scenes I will have, or some loving scenes, you got to have some humor behind it. And you got to laugh at certain situations. You know, that's why one of my favorite authors is Kurt Vonnegut, because if you read, he is basically a thing of satire. I mean, he makes a joke of our society, or he had. And, you know, it's a sad thing. He had passed, by the way, this year. And he was one of my favorite authors. But you look at, you know, some of the sad, you know, when we come to this closing year, look at all the things that have happened. You know, and you got to look at the positive elements of it. And one of the positive elements of things is utilizing laughter and making a joke of it in order to disclose it. I mean, you know, it's sort of funny because there's on Comedy Central, they have Stewart and Colbert doing their funny impressions about politics. But that's the light side. And that's why I think there's people, when they tend to get older, sometimes they get too serious. And the youth still have that youthfulness, which is really not really ever lost. It's people just bury it because they get out of life's 9-to-5 type of thing. They, you know, the man pushes it down. You know, when you're working, you can't have fun. You can't be, you have to be all serious and stuff. So it's pushed down. And then worrying about bills and paying this and paying that, it makes life serious. Things around you serious. But if you lighten up and you make things with fun and laughter, I know it's hard, but when you see that time that's hard, like I said again, make a joke of it, laugh about it. Hell, all that stuff I wrote about right now and I just, you know, spewed off, and it probably offended me, you know, when I talk about Ahmed and I talk about Jews and Christians, it's to have fun, it's to laugh about it, you know. If all the religions, people who have faith or whatever, and organized, which I don't particularly agree to, but I, you know, that's their belief, you know, they need to laugh at their situation, even laugh about themselves. Like, I don't mind when people make laugh about me, but not on my show, no. They need to laugh and chill. They need to laugh at themselves. That's part of reflecting, you know, have fun. You know, laugh at the little booger hanging out of your nose, you know, that you're walking around, all right? There's a place out here, if any of you come out to Las Vegas, there is a restaurant you all have to go to. And I don't really ever talk promo restaurants. But it's inside Excalibur, and it's called Dick's. And what Dick is basically, they're being a dick, okay? They will say things and be obnoxious, and they play games, you know, like that. And it's to have fun. It's the first place I've ever seen that really takes, you know, puns and fun at things. And it's great because it's the first thing that you brings down those barriers. When you make a laugh and you make a joke about somebody or something, it takes down those barriers. Have you ever noticed, like, you know, when you talk to somebody, if you start first, like even in business, for example, if you get all serious, you know, there's that big old wall. But if you start joking and having humor, colorizing the situation, those barriers suddenly come down. And you know why? Because humor and laughter are the humankind. It's like, I don't even know, it might be even just a side of our loving ways in our own human spirit, that if you can laugh, that's everything. So if you have people, if enemies can laugh amongst themselves, that would take down one of the biggest barriers. If they, you know, the Arabs and the Jews can sit down and start laughing amongst themselves, that would be one first step, wouldn't it? If the Christians and the other denominations or whatever, all the Christian orders or whatever, you know, and all the different, you know, Christians, whether Buddhists and all them, and the Hindus, and everybody could just quit being so serious and laugh, and the Catholics too, or the non-religious, or the atheists. You know, they need to just chill and laugh at, you know, things. Would it be great if the Republicans and the Democrats could sit down and just get together and just do a whole big old party and laugh at the certain things about each other? You know how big of that wall would disappear? You know? So yeah, laughter, man, is the prize of everything. You know? Damn, we're getting serious again. Well, I have to tell you, I want to, all the people I had on my past shows this year, I also want to thank them for coming on. You know, I had mentioned a few, like Sun, and I had Carrie. I plan to have, by the way, and I never mentioned this, but I was planning to have, and it's only tentative, Carrie, who, by the way, she's the one who did the astrology. I know I'm getting off different tangents here, but I wanted to get this in there. But she had did the astrology on the candidates, which was pretty fascinating. If you ever, by the way, go back in the archives, check it out. It's sort of interesting. But she is having a, I'm going to try to have her before Valentine's. And she, hey, talk about the lighter side. For Valentine's Day, I'm going to have a show where she's going to do, hopefully, the sexual elements of the astrology. So you'll all have a kick out of it. So whether you're an Aries or Gemini or Scorpio or Virgo or whatever, she's going to elaborate on that. We might be all surprised. And of course, I mentioned that I'm going to have Ricky back on, and I'll have other distinguished guests as well. You know, I'm probably going to try to have Sun on again. Understand she's coming out in, with a her debut of her magazine, JACME, I'm sorry, which deals with has culture and art and all that stuff, which would be pretty cool. And I'm going to have some really special people on, and likewise, I will have different elements, other things I'm going to get into. And I will have another, so everybody knows, in 2 weeks from today, I will have, and I was thinking about what I'm going to do on my next show, because people have asked me before, you know, things, and I have to incline what they want, but also, at the same time, I was thinking what my show, but anyway, lo and behold, I think I'm going to end up doing, for the first class, my first show of next year, I will do go over the Kabbalah in the practical sense. I'll get into some more mysticism of it and elements of it and some more detailed practicing of practical Kabbalah. So if any of you are listening or listening back in the archives, you can check out in the past archives, I forget which state it was that I did that, and you may want to go back and check that out. I will rehash many elements in there, but then I will get into more details of Kabbalism. And I plan to do also get more in details, alternating between having you know, guests on and whatnot. So you know, I will rehash certain things, what I'm trying to say, of some of the elements I had spoken to in my past shows, like I said, in Kabbalism. I will probably get into thoughts or things and creating. I know I went into that to some degree. I'm going to rehash some of that stuff and get more detailed. So all that stuff I will just rehash, but I'll also get very more detailed into those things I've talked in the past. Of course, I will happily be doing, since it is the political year of the elections, doing a lot more ranting and raving about politics, and I will rant and rave about every getting their little asses out there and vote, whether it's out in the caucuses or whatever. It's your not a privilege to vote. It is your right to vote, and it's a way to change things and change circumstances, and voice your opinion. And believe me, if people voted with their heart and their mind, they can create absolute change within our own system, our government, you know, voicing their opinions. And not just voting, but any of the right to editorials, not include, if you can, don't feel comfortable writing editorials or writing to, you can write them to your congressman and send letters out. You can also form grassroots organizations or get involved with grassroots organizations. You know, whether it's including helping fix our environment and stuff. God damn, I'm getting all serious again here. See? I'm getting all serious like everybody else here. But anyway, I think that's what I'm going to get into, because like next year it's going to be a lot of things happening. You know, and it's amazing because people are trying to make for better. I mean, you know, Brad Pitt is out there in New Orleans trying to help rebuild New Orleans. It just shows that individuals can make efforts. You know, and people have choices. You know, when people are receive the God's opportunity of having wealth and fame, you have the responsibility and the opportunity to utilize what you have been given to help others. You know, that's actually the whole point of it. Why you are have, if you know, you're gonna, how many more millions do you really need? I mean, if you have a house, you have a real nice home, you can live real comfortably for the rest of your life. Beyond that, what else do you need? You know what I mean? You know, that rest can take care of a lot of other situations. You know, and hopefully, maybe one day, monetarism will not be an issue. It will be, like all of this may sound Star Trek-y, but might be non-existent. You know, where they go, money? Oh, yeah, that was what they used to use in the 20th century. You know, that sounds pretty bizarre, but who knows? And by the way, I will also get into more extraterrestrial stuff. And I'm going to be having fun this year because I'm going to be doing a lot of book signing events. Hopefully it'll be in California in March. And who knows, I may be in your town. You can always send me, by the way, emails, questions, or whatever. You voice your opinion or have thoughts what you would like on the show, if you would like to even be on my show. You can always email me at flyingpigs@artlover.com, or you can always go on to my MySpace, if you all have MySpace, MySpace.com/AndrewFeder, F-E-D-E-R. And you can always, hey, I'm not going to say no, but you can check my site out, which deals with when the angels have risen, which shows the initial thing, which, by the way, if you go on to my site on BBS, it has the initial site of when the angels have risen. And you can have a connection link from there to my new book, which is The Heretic, which is just getting really good, great reviews right now. And you can also go directly to that website at AndrewTheHeretic.com. And, I just want to thank everybody out there for, listening, and future listeners, and I want to wish everybody out there genuinely a very happy holidays, a Merry Christmas, and a very, very happy new year. And I wish you all that are blessed with unlimited abundance of love and happiness and good health. And also, I want to reassure everybody that it's really, really important not just to always be so serious about the kumbaya stuff that we have on the many guests that we have to listen, and the many hosts and the situations that you may listen to, whether it's about spirituality, politics, religion, extraterrestrials. But you have to step back and laugh at certain things and laugh at most things. And if you, like I said, if you're feeling depressed or down, that was probably the easiest way to cheer you up. Don't pick up a bottle. Don't pick up the bong. You know, if you feel depressed or sad, hell, it's easier to laugh at things than getting all intoxicated over the things, because you're going to wake up feeling a lot worse. So I think laughter is really the best medicine. And as Buddha had said, there's no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. And with that, God bless you all. And I want to thank each and every one of you have listened for up to this year. And hopefully you'll be listening in the following year. And God bless you all. Thank you. Goodbye. Let us see.